Get ready for the Girls on Games podcast, your weekly dose of news, reviews, and everything video games. Always served with a good helping of hype and just a pinch of salt. And now, your host, Leah.
Welcome to another Girls on Games podcast. My name is Leah, and I am the host of this show. Welcome, all, to episode number 222. This week, we're talking more news, because there's been lots of stuff going on, including gaming grandpas? Kat, you're going to have to tell me all about that. I'm intrigued. Some allegations of some abuse in the video game industry. Is Telltale a phoenix rising from the ashes? And maybe a little bit about Minecraft. But before we do that, of course, I want to introduce you to the friendly voices you're hearing around this digital table. Catherine, how's it going?
Allergies.
It's that kind of a day in video game world, isn't it?
Oh, man, it's been a terrible last 2 days with everything that's coming out in the news. On top of that, my allergies are killing me, and it's just like, I have no energy. I just want to crawl in my bed in a fetal position and play Fire Emblem Three Houses on my Switch.
I totally understand you. Allie, how are you?
I'm also not doing too good over in my neck of the woods. We've got a heat wave coming through Seattle. I've been battling a migraine for the past, 32 hours.
Oof.
And it has just not been a very nice time, like Kat said, in the gaming industry over the past 24 hours.
Well, hopefully, except for that news article that we do need to talk about, or at least get into a little bit of what's happening, hopefully this can be a reprieve, because I always look at the Girls on Games podcast as a chance for us to get together and, you know, enjoy video games and enjoy the passion and hang out with you guys. And that's always a positive light in my week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. So before we get into checking in with the crew and what they've been playing this week, I want to remind you, if you enjoy this podcast, you can subscribe. We're available where all awesome podcasts can be found, including Apple, Google Play, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Podbean. And of course, if you would like to wear GOG merch on your body and support us, you can acquire that stuff at designbyhumans.com/shop/girlsongames. All right, let's check into what the crew's been up to this week. And I know everybody knows what I've been at because I've been tweeting about it. Like, seriously, Persona has taken over my life. But I want to know what the girls are at. So, Catherine, what have you been playing? What have you been doing? What's up?
Well, I've been playing Erica.
Oh, how's that going?
You know, it's interesting. I kind of left me lukewarm.
Okay.
But at all of the, interactive storytelling experience, it is one of my favorites. I gotta admit, I found the story a bit lackluster. But then again, it's the kind of thing that you have to go and replay.
Okay.
So a single playthrough is about 2 hours.
Okay.
And it doesn't tell you the whole story, so you have to go back. I mean, the intrigue is tied to the occult, like cults and ritual and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think they could have leaned it more into like that, almost went on a horror vibe. They went more for like a drama side, but I don't think it serves the story all that well.
Okay.
Interestingly enough, you play with an app. Your phone is the controller. Because it's a lot like, I don't know if you remember the old LucasArts games used to make a lot of these games. Those almost like puzzle walking simulator games where you just walk up to an object and then you interact with it. Like you
it's
find
like the, a... like the King's Quest games.
Yeah.
You find a key and then you need to take the key and you actually make a movement to turn. So you have your phone is basically a blank surface on which you make gestures.
So just clarity here. This is a game on PS4. Is it connecting to your physical phone?
Yeah, you download the app.
Okay.
And basically, your phone and your PS4 need to be on the same Wi-Fi network.
Okay. Interesting.
So it works a lot like, you know, a lot of those smart home speakers, that's how they work.
Okay. Yeah. And like, I remember like the Red Dead Redemption 2 app had the map in it that would track you and you'd be connected to your account so you could see mm-hmm. what you were doing in the phone, kind of use it as an extra menu so you didn't have to open up your menus all the time. But it sounds mm-hmm. like this actually has the interactivity into it so that yeah. that becomes your controller.
Basically, it's either you play with the PS4 controller and they make you use that trackpad on top.
Okay.
Or you use your phone.
Okay. Mm.
And they kind of say that it's better with a phone, probably because you have a bigger surface. And like, I've got a pretty massive Android device, so
okay.
I have a lot of room to play through. But it was, I mean, pretty simple. You just kind of like go on the iOS store or the Google store, you download it, install it. It took like 2 seconds. And if you have the game running and your phone is on the same Wi-Fi network, it's almost instant. My only gripe is that sometimes it's not as responsive as a controller. It's probably going to vary between like your Wi-Fi, according to your Wi-Fi network, I guess, or your device speed. Or like, I was playing, it was 7 p.m. So, you know, sometimes around that time, my Wi-Fi gets a bit fucky because a lot of people are online. Because mm-hmm. we have one network for like the whole duplex.
Okay.
So if downstairs there's like a lot of people and people are on their phone, sometimes my Wi-Fi will get a bit fucky. Okay. But I just thought it wasn't as responsive. But I mean, it's very simple. Like, you know, you get, let's say you're having a conversation and somebody wants to show you an image. So they put mm-hmm. the image on the table and then the game will focus on the photograph. And then you will use your phone and you'll just swipe down and it will drag the image to you.
Okay.
So it's basically making these very simple interactive environments, like, you know, putting a key in a keyhole and then doing like a circular motion so that the person turns their hands and unlock. So
this is kind of interesting. I mean, so it's kind of like a little bit of an accessibility hurdle. Potentially.
It could be. But it sounds like they've got some sort of system in place by having the controller. But yeah, it could be.
I mean, it's... I was playing one-handed for the most part. I mean, if people need a larger surface, probably they could... I haven't tested it. I could try installing it on my big-ass iPad Pro. See if it gives you a larger surface and it's better.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I mean, PlayStation 4 doesn't have an accessible controller like PC and Xbox do.
Right.
So I don't know if a lot of people that need accessibility is an issue. Motor accessibility. I'm not sure the PS4 would be their first choice to begin with. But
I definitely like the concept of, like, you know, we've had a few games throughout the years that have, you know, mobile app companions and stuff like that, and I feel like there's been so many swings and misses with that technology. I'd love to see a game like actually nail it for once.
Yeah. My biggest gripe with this one was like when you had to make choices, right? Because there's a lot of routes, and once you finish your first playthrough, like I finished the first playthrough and then I got all of my trophies
okay
unlocked, and I saw, like, you know, oh, you became BFF with this character. And you saw this story arc to the finish and this is the ending you got. Then you realize, okay, like, there's through these trophies, I'll remember what I did and I can go back and play some other things. But when it comes to these choices, these like dialogue choices, a lot is that you'll have the choices on the screen mm-hmm. and then you have to drag your finger across your iPhone so that it becomes almost like you're controlling a cursor. And then you have to mm-hmm. choose. And like, there was this one and you have like a, you know, when they say not making a choice is a choice, I think like if you don't, sometimes you have a time crunch and you have to pick. If not, they'll pick for you. Mm-hmm. And I've had a few instances where I did not make the choice I wanted to make because I was just struggling to get the cursor to make the choice and to mm-hmm. register it.
Did you play Until Dawn?
I did not.
Okay. So Until Dawn, PlayStation 4 game. Great game. Scary, but fun. But I feel like out of all these kind of like you got to make a choice kind of scenarios where you're affecting the gameplay, but it's not a lot of like you actually have to play the game. It's more an interactive story. That one actually did it super well. But it kept it all to the controller. There was no app or anything like that that you needed to interact with. And it had that mechanic where if you did not make a choice within a certain amount of time, it would choose for you. But I found that it was super easy. It was more my indecision causing me to not decide rather than the controls not working for me.
Yeah. See, in this case, I would have preferred that during the those sequences where you had to pick something, like you had a textual menu, I would have preferred buttons on the app and then you just tap on the option you want.
Yeah.
Instead of having me trying to like use my finger like a cursor.
That was they could very have done fun. That.
Yeah.
That would have been easy and much more natural, I think, than you trying to move a cursor around.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's funny because that's always like when I have a Wacom tablet, I have a Wacom tablet. And the idea of it being so small and the screen being so big because I can't see it, I don't use it as often as I probably should because it just takes me so long to correlate the movement in my hand not being as big of a gesture or being too big of a gesture from what happens on screen. It's a similar thing that happened when I was playing Star Fox Zero because I had a hard time focusing on what was happening on the gamepad and then what was happening on screen because of the distance and focusing and all that kind of stuff. And I feel like this is a similar situation because you're going from the screen, having to manipulate something below, and then it not necessarily correlating as well as it probably should.
And I don't have a very common phone. Like, I have a Huawei. I have the P20 Pro, so it's not like I'm on like the iPhone 8, which is like one of the most used phone right now. So I don't know if they really QA'd for all the major Android devices. And if they did, they probably grabbed like, you know, a couple of Galaxies, probably I forgot the name of the one.
The Pixel?
Yeah, the Pixel, but the OnePlus.
Oh, yes, that one.
So they probably grabbed, like, those phones and probably be with the U.S. ban. They were like, who has Huawei's anymore? A lot of people in Europe and Canada, unfortunately. So that was my gripe with it. I mean, it's right now on the PSN, it's $13.49 Canadian for the game. I would say you easily get your money's worth if you play once or twice or thrice. The acting was okay.
Okay.
It wasn't spectacular. It wasn't bad.
Okay. So if you were to, like, I feel like you said you liked it, but you've got a lot of gripes with it. Like, do you have anything you could kind of compare it to be like it's on the same level as something? Because I feel like you're more disinterested in it than interested.
Yeah, because it's like, if you've played games like Grim Fandango.
Okay.
Or I had one of those like old school, what was it? I forget the name, but it was like an exploration and investigation game, which was just like walking around and interacting with the environments and solving puzzles, and was on the Titanic. I forget the name. I was like 8 when I played that shit. It was like one of the first 3D games I played. But I would say it's, and if I remember, what was the Anamorphine?
Oh, right.
Anamorphine was more interesting to me than Eriko was.
Okay.
Probably because it was a simple story, but with complex emotional layers, and they used surrealism to tell it. And like, it didn't take long before, like with these experiences, that you understand what was happening. Mm-hmm. And you know, lived it, and you start to live that. Erica is more like a thriller, like you're controlling in investigation / thriller TV show, but not the best one.
Okay.
So yeah, I mean, I don't mind the gimmicks. I don't mind playing interactive stories. Like, I'm all about stories. I think the problem with this one is like the story wasn't the best. Also, like, it seems like they're in a modern setting, but they go to this hospital that looks like almost old school, almost like from the 60s and 70s.
Okay.
But this is clearly a modern setting, yet nobody has a fucking phone. Nobody has access to the internet. And it's just like every time they're in a situation and, you know, they're like, what do we do? Like, what's going to happen? And Erica's like, I have to make a decision. I'm just like, whip out your phone and call 911, bitch. So it's weird. It's almost like, you know, Napoleon Dynamite?
Yes.
When you watch this movie, you can't pinpoint where in time that movie is. Because okay. It's like very old school 80s, 90s, yet they seem to be in the early 2000s.
Yeah.
This is weird like that.
Okay.
Like Erica and her apartment seems to be like in the present. They go to this hospital. Everything looks so 60s and 70s. And she's talking to these policemen and whatever. And, you know, like the guy's talking to her and he's whipping out like a notepad and he's taking notes with a pen. And I'm just like, you know, nobody has a phone. Nobody has technology. It's just like old school.
Interesting dichotomy since the mechanic of controlling it is through an app on your phone.
Yeah. And at one point she's like walking around the hospital and I chose to go in an office.
Okay.
And there was a typewriter and they were typing on a typewriter. And I was like, what fucking year is this? Okay, I'm so confused. Like, I don't know if they were trying to make like an alternate reality thing, like versus like, you know, this place is frozen in time. But when they're outside of that place, you know, if that place is frozen in time and she's represented of the present, where's her phone? Like, why doesn't she talk about like technology, reference the internet, things like that? So that was very weird for me in general. So that was my gripe with the story. It's just okay. Like it was that the Napoleon Dynamite, it was weird, but it made to the charm of the movie. In this case, it just made me confused.
All right.
So I'm not mad at this game.
I probably would it be like a wait until a sale sort of deal?
I mean, it's not even $15 Canadian. If you're interested in playing, just buy it and play it. Honestly, it's not a bad game. It's not a bad experience. I think it just because it's a narrative experience, the story has to speak to you. And I think for me, that story was just lackluster. Just
middle of the road. Like it's not bad, but it's not exceptional. It's middle of the road.
No, if you like stories about cults and occult shit and weird. Yeah, weird stuff like that, and murder. I mean, they tried to go for a gory thing. It didn't work for me personally, but I mean, I think it will please a lot of people.
Okay.
And I think a lot of people that are not into complex games, that are into games for a narrative experience, will enjoy this one.
Yeah, it's interesting that we're seeing a lot of this stuff pop up. I don't know if it's inspiration on, you know, what we've seen through Netflix and what they did with Bandersnatch and all that kind of stuff. I feel like there's a lot more of it lately, mm-hmm. or at least more's bubbling to the surface. It's not to say that this stuff wasn't done before. It just seems like it's becoming more top of mind, this style of game.
Yeah, and the way they did it was really good. Like, yeah. So far, execution-wise, for this type of game, it's the best execution I've seen. Mm-hmm.
And how goes your playthrough of Fire Emblem Three Houses? Are you still the yellow team?
I'm still working on the yellow team. I've made it to the second part of the story. I'm making my way towards the end. I got Simon into the game. He bought it. He's obsessed. If he
Someone
were here this week...
Owes me $5!
If he were here this week, this whole intro would have been Fire Emblem because he started a chat with me and my friend Guillaume, who's also playing, and we're just talking about Fire Emblem day in, day out. The obsession continues.
Nice. I like it.
$90 well spent. What can I say?
$90?
Well, it's $80 Canadian plus tax.
Jesus.
Game's expensive, yo.
It come to like 80-some. It's almost $90 to buy a Nintendo game full price. Even digital.
Craziness. Allie, what you playing and what you been at this week?
Well, I caved. I finally caved. I mean, I know I've talked about how I feel about the Sims expansion stuff. Ooh. Item pack. I've talked about how I don't like their pricing model, but I caved.
Oh, no.
I caved because there was a 25 to 50% off sale on Xbox, and I just really, 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 and this is how they get you. I just really wanted to have like my pets with, you know, my sim counterparts and everything, and so I bought cats and dogs.
Aww.
And I will be buying the new Magic expansion that they just, you know, announced and teased and whatnot the other
Magic?
Week. I will definitely be buying that. Yes.
Yeah.
Like wizards and shit?
Yeah.
Yeah. So there was, for the first Sims, there was Making Magic.
Yeah.
Which was my favorite DLC, which basically lets you take your Sim and make them a wizard or a witch. And they just announced Realm of Magic for The Sims 4, and it's going to be coming out in October, I want to say. I think it's October for PC. Oh no, sorry, September 10th for PC, and then October 15th for consoles.
So you're gonna wait for the console release?
Oh yeah, I'm definitely gonna wait for the console release.
Okay.
But yeah, so I cracked, and I spent a couple bucks, and I bought cats and dogs, and I don't regret it. It's actually quite a bit of fun. I spent a good chunk of my time perfectly recreating my animals in the little creation process. They let you get just as like deep and detailed on the pets as they do the humans. It's pretty funny.
Photo, please.
I should
take some screenshots of them.
I want to see Hex.
They're both still like a kitten and a puppy, so they're very small. But it was a lot of fun, and yeah, it added quite a bit to the game. Like now you can actually own like a vet clinic.
My gosh,
which is pretty cool. Like I don't even need the get to work DLC to do that, like the vet clinic and being able to work at a vet clinic comes with cats and dogs, which is pretty much the only job I'd be interested in. So pretty stoked about that. It came with like a bunch of different items for the housing and things. So I've been spending a lot of time with Sims 4 lately. It's just been really scratching an itch for me that I guess I didn't really know I had. It's a good game, and the port for consoles is rough, but it's one of those ones that like if you sit down and you play it for like half an hour, it's kind of like a muscle memory thing, so you get like you get really used to it.
My problem was I couldn't see stuff. That was my problem with it. It was like
The UI is pretty small. I'm excited. I want to try the keyboard and mouse support that they've added on Xbox for The Sims, so hopefully I'll get to try that soon. But yeah, it's been a lot of Sims, a lot of simming for me this week.
That's good.
Yep, that's about it.
Yeah. And then, yeah, my side of things, still playing Persona, guys. The obsession is real. And it's funny because there was an article on Kotaku about games like that you haven't finished, that you really like, that you just haven't finished. And of course the picture is Persona, but I did get to try and something that I had been meaning to try for a while. I did get to try remote play on my Vita. It's not like I hadn't done it before, but like I hadn't pulled my Vita out and charged it in so long. And you know what? It actually works pretty darn well. The only thing is I am missing the fact that I don't have R2 and L2 as actual physical buttons. And I don't know if you guys get this. Like, you know how on the Xbox and the PlayStation controller, A and X are like the confirm buttons for most cases? But then on the Switch, it's on the side where normally B is, but is the A button. Even though I've been playing this game on a PlayStation and using the normal confirm button, as soon as I pick up the Vita, I keep thinking I gotta press where I would press confirm on the Nintendo Switch.
Because you play handheld most of the time on the Switch.
I don't know what it is, though. Like, why? It's not like I'm... Like, it's still the same game. Why is it just not computing in my brain?
You know, like, I'm on, like, what, 80 consecutive hours of Fire Emblem? I'm still pressing B half the time instead of confirm.
It's ridiculous.
I keep... Because it's kinetically speaking, and I'm like, I gotta confirm, so on the
bottom.
Little...
Yeah.
It's at the bottom of the diamond.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's just like so many times I'm just like, man, why isn't Claude attacking? Oh, right.
So like, yeah, why? I'm 40 hours into this bad boy now. Still going strong. Gonna keep going. Thank God it's a long weekend coming up.
Yeah. 40 hours. Where are you like on the calendar?
I'm in July. I am on the third palace. I am very close to finishing the third palace.
Nice.
Yeah. So I'm at the point now that I remember watching.
Okay.
Everything from this point forward, like I didn't see this battle and every this stealing this heart and everything from this point forward, I don't remember or don't know. And I kind of like that. Yeah.
So now you're going into discovery mode and
Yeah. This game's so darn good. So darn good. I can't wait to hear from Simon next week. I'm really curious to hear his thoughts on Fire Emblem.
Me really too, because curious. I didn't think he would get into it as hard as he did.
I had an inkling, and I always bet on a sure thing. All right, ladies, you ready to talk about news from this week? Yeah, all right, let's do that right after this break. Okay, we are back with some news to cover. Catherine, what do you got for us this week?
Well, I've been following the stories about the allegations in the gaming industry. We're recording this on a Wednesday night. Mm-hmm. It started coming out on Tuesday. Right now, it's a lot of people coming out publicly. As of today, a lot of outlets are picking up the stories and writing about it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't want to go too much in detail because it's still fresh. And like we hear what the victims are saying and we believe them. We don't want to believe them because it's so terrible, but we believe them. But at the same time, so much information is coming out. What I'll do is I will leave. There's an article from Gamma Sutra that wraps up what came out so far, and they're updating it.
Yeah.
And so I will put a link to that in the show notes.
Mm-hmm. And I think we'll just kind of take a moment to remind people that in any industry, there has to be zero tolerance.
Mm-hmm.
You have to stand up to people, even if you consider them your friends, if you see them behaving inappropriately, making inappropriate comments. You have to be the change. You have to step up and you have to call out that behavior when you see it. And you know, it's a reminder that I wish we didn't have to constantly give, but now is a good enough time as any to just remind people that mm-hmm. it needs to be done.
Yeah. There's so many different stories coming out, different cases, and you know, as they often say, sometimes when one story comes out, we start hearing trickle more because it empowers people to then tell their story that they were scared to talk about before. So we're seeing a lot of different things pop up, and it's all, the stories are evolving. And like Catherine said, it only just started bubbling to the surface yesterday. Even when I looked this morning, the news wasn't totally out there in all the big avenues where we usually look for these kinds of stories. So now I think it's because they were investigating and trying to get the full scope so to make sure that they were reporting on it properly. So it's only now that this stuff is popping up, and we're seeing some of the reactions from the devs, from the community. So yeah, it's ongoing, it's developing. We're gonna keep our eyeballs on it, and we hear you. All right. Turning the tables a little bit to keep it more, maybe a little bit more on the positive side of the things that we love about video games. Catherine, gaming grandpas? Like, come on. Like, what is this? I need to know.
This article was actually, I found it because it's, I found it because it was on an internal newsletter at Ubisoft. They have this newsletter where they just grab news from the industry, and they always have a section for fun stuff. And there was this article from Mel's Magazine, which I've never heard about Mel Magazine, but so far I'm liking it. And it's about how retirees are turning to video games to counter loneliness, boredom, and to keep their minds and reflexes sharp and fresh. And it's great because these are not people that grew up with video games like us millennials. These are boomers. That not everybody went to the arcade, not everybody enjoyed it, and a lot of them are turning to games now in their retirement as a pastime. And my My favorite quote from this article is one of these gaming grandpas said that the depth of character development in modern games is astonishing. To make a crusty old guy like me shed a tear over a character in a video game like I did during The Last of Us is a testament to the writers and developers.
What a heartwarming story when you think about it, especially since we just came off something really intense. I remember when the Wii came out, and you know, like, everybody was talking about having the Wiis and the bowling and getting people moving, and especially in cases like retirement homes and things like that. But I could imagine, you know, like, when you once you've hit the retirement age and you're looking at your life and you're like, what do I do with myself now? I mean, it's a perfect opportunity to pick up a video game and kind of escapism and try something different and see a different story, and, you know, better often sometimes than a movie or a TV show because it prolongs it and you get to really interact. I think this is really cool.
It is. I'll have a link to the article so that you can read all the testimonials from these three grandpas they interviewed. But I think it's great, especially since we know about Shirley Curry, who makes YouTube videos, Let's Plays of Skyrim. There was I saw on Twitter at one point a person was saying that they had bought a Nintendo 3DS for their grandma with Animal Crossing. And when the 3DS died, they bought a new one and they were helping their grandma move the game to the new 3DS and realized, like, she had like 350 hours or 600 hours, something like that.
Still not as many hours as my Animal Crossing New Leaf game. Get good, grandma. I can't believe I just said that. That was entirely a joke, though, for anybody who's like listening.
I love it.
Any new listeners?
I love it.
Kind of a joke.
But that just means that Ellie's obsessed.
Yeah. And it shows that you're never too old to get into something.
Mm-mm. Yeah. Not and I think it's all. Nice too is like that some of these people might have, you know, maybe belittled their children's interest or you know, anybody that they might have seen playing video games, but then they've experienced it for themselves and they've seen what it's all about. And I think that that's pretty cool.
And it's always a challenge too. Like I'm dealing with a situation now where we have a you know, elderly grandparent who is now dealing with dementia and Alzheimer's. And, you know, if there's something that I could connect with them on, it would probably make it a little bit easier. You know, give them a chance to escape the everyday and the situation that they're dealing with, right? And we know that music is often a way to do that. Well, maybe escapism like video games would be a great way as well. So, you know, I always see these cases too. I remember when back in the day when I was in Girl Guides and Brownies and we used to go in and put off a show or something for at a senior's home to kind of like brighten their day. Imagine if we could just go in and, you know, like play some Fortnite or go in and play some Minecraft, you know, play The Sims, you know, have them create the pets that they used to have when they were younger. So, yeah, it'd be kind of cool. Maybe we should start something there.
We need to end up all of us at the same retirement home and we need to have our own lands.
Oh my god, have you guys watched the movie Palms?
No.
Okay, there's a movie that just came out recently. It's called Palms. It might be a little bit of a tearjerker, but essentially it's a story of this lady who is going into a retirement community, but it's more like one of those almost like gated communities down the south where you like you have your house and everything, but like they have events and stuff and whatever, and she used to be a cheerleader and she wanted to make a cheerleading crew. Yes, really good movie. Really enjoy it. But that's going to be us, and we're going to make a video game crew, okay? Let's make a pact right here, right now.
Sorry, Simon.
And all the volunteers that come to entertain Grandma Catherine are going to get pwned at Mario Kart.
Oh, gosh. That's so true. I'm not even going to challenge Kat to Mario Kart. It's not worth it.
I played with Simo and his girlfriend. We did one Grand Prix, and they were like, we're going to change games, because I don't think Catherine... Like, at one point, they still had half of their last lap to do, and I was done. I was texting, like, shitposting in Discord while I waited for them to be over. We were playing at 100cc. Like, I've been playing at 200 for so long. Mm. Sorry. Humble brag. I played a lot of Mario Kart.
But yeah, hey, I mean, I just figured when we get older, we're just going to be continuing playing games, so it won't be a thing, right? Like, it won't be weird for us in a retirement community to be playing games. But hey, if people are doing it now, maybe we should go there and hang out with them.
Totes. I mean, in that article, one of them mentioned that they tried Fortnite, and they were like, I was playing against people that are younger than my grandkids or something like that. And I was just like, oh, grandpa.
I love it.
I hope you pwned them.
I got a news story for us. So, guys, you remember, like, not too long ago, we were talking about the downfall of Telltale Games, not knowing what was going to happen? Well, the studio had shuttered, and everybody had moved on, it seemed like. And now there's a story on Polygon saying that it's being revived. It might be a phoenix rising from the ashes. So it shut down last year, and now a company purchased the game called LCG Entertainment. Based on Polygon's article, the new company will sell some of Telltale's back catalog and will work on new games based on a few Telltale-associated properties, as well as new licenses.
Oh, I have feelings about this.
Alrighty then, let's get into that.
There's a quote that Catherine, I think, actually mentioned before we started recording, but there's a quote here that says that some workers from the original Telltale games will be offered freelance roles with full-time positions possible in the future. Oh, I don't like that one bit. It seems like such a predatory business practice. You know, in our industry, in gaming, you know, freelance and these, like, you know, these roles with, like, really, really drastically high turnover and whatnot, that's been a point of contention for many years now about how there's no safety in a lot of these positions in the gaming industry. And this just feels like they're taking advantage of people who have already been burned once before, and hoping that their love of the things that they've created and the passion for the things that they've created are going to get them back on board just so they can be abused again.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't sit well with me, the wording of this, at all. This to me just seems like it's someone taking advantage of a brand's once good name. And I think the positive emotions and feelings, also the same thing, you know, emotions and feelings, that players have for, like, the heyday of Telltale, and kind of taking advantage of that, especially, like, knowing that they plan to sell some of the catalog.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems like a weird, and who knows, maybe that's not the case, but this article and kind of their comments, they don't fill me with confidence.
It's funny because one of the pull quotes that they have is, we're working very hard not to make similar mistakes.
So far, not so good.
Well, I know, obviously, it sounds like they're like, we acquired the license, now we're going to figure out what the heck we're going to do, and we're not committing to anything. Which I can understand, because they don't know what they want to do, and they don't want to commit, but at the same time, if they're going to pass comments saying, like, you can come back and work freelance, like, that's not great.
No.
But it sounds like they essentially just bought the IP that is Telltale, and have, you know, the connections to the licenses, and then they're gonna figure out what they want to do from there, what they want to sell off, what they want to keep, what they want to do. We'll have to wait and see if it actually pans out to be anything positive at all.
I mean, one of the big issues also with Telltale was the game engine. Mm. Are they gonna rebuild all the games from scratch, or are they gonna try to duct tape over what they had if they purchased also the source code? I mean, it's hard to say. Like,
so the thing
like
is,
same
too,
shit,
like,
different pile.
They might not even have the rights to the intellectual properties that they've used in the past.
That's
like they probably have. It looks like they have the rights to some of the games, but not necessarily if they wanted to create more in the same series or to remaster them.
That's what I was gonna ask.
Like, The Walking Dead license has gone back to Skybound.
Okay.
The Stranger Things license has gone back to Netflix.
Okay. That's what I was wondering. What happens when a company goes bankrupt or something like this happens? Do the licenses then revert to the companies that originally own the license? Because they're essentially, it's a contract to use the license to develop that on behalf of the other license holder, the proper license IP holder. So, you know, does that mean The Walking Dead reverts? Does that mean, some of the other things, Batman? But, like, what do you do with that old game? Because I know that they were taken off stores and things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it sounds just, like it they just... might be starting to sell some of these again through their acquisition.
Yeah, they say status of previous Telltale licenses such as Borderlands, Game of Thrones, Guardians of the Galaxy, and Minecraft have not been announced. When asked about Telltale's previous plans to release game based on Stranger Things, he said that, and this is the developer talking with the gentleman heading up the company, he said that the rights have been reverted back to Netflix, like you mentioned.
And, you know, I don't want to, like, I don't want to sound like I'm poo-pooing over these people. Like, it is just, it is kind of concerning. Like, I'm seeing red flags everywhere. Mm-hmm. Who knows? They could have, the best intentions. They could have just as much passion for what Telltale was to us players, you know what I mean? Like, our experiences with Telltale games, they could be just as passionate about that. And who knows? Who knows? Maybe that they do have a bigger plan than they're letting on in this article. Mm-hmm. And hopefully that is the case. But it definitely just, it seems...
odd.
Seems a little strange right now.
And they probably can't, and then I guess because they're acquiring this and they have to announce it because they are going to start making inquiries, you know, bringing people on, that kind of stuff. So they have to announce it, but they don't have a whole lot to say, right? So you're trying to make a story and trying to make a thing out of something that where there's not a lot of information yet because they can't do anything yet. They just acquired the IP that is Telltale. The name of the company, right? And now they gotta wade through it all and figure out what they're gonna do.
I mean, why would you want to buy? I mean, I can understand trying to purchase the IPs and things like that and maybe some of the source code, but why keep that name?
Maybe they won't.
It's been sullied, you know?
Maybe they won't. You never know.
It's just strange. It reminds me of like those instances where developers or publishers shut down and then like one really dedicated fan tries to launch a Kickstarter to buy like the publisher or the developer.
Yeah.
Like that's kind of, it looks like that's what like the first thing that popped to my mind was like, it was like they successfully funded that Kickstarter. You know what I mean? But it seems like they do have some, you know, they do have a background in gaming and mostly mobile games, it looks like. But I don't know. This will be interesting to follow, see what happens. I just hope that, you know, and we saw firsthand the reactions of Telltale employees, the heartbreak, the confusion, the anger. I know I follow a few of them on Twitter, and their reactions to this news has been a little strained.
Yeah. Is this a similar situation to THQ Nordic? Because, I mean, they're essentially acquiring everything in sliced bread. So, because that kind of imploded. But, I don't know, maybe that story wasn't as tumultuous as Telltale. Because of the working conditions and everything else, and then what happened when they did close and how that was all mishandled.
The thing too with THQ Nordic, right? Like they're acquiring IPs.
Yeah.
But they're still like, THQ has been a company for a very long time. Like they've always been like their own entity. And I think where it differs is like these people picking up the corpse of a dead entity and putting their life into it.
Okay.
And kind of, it just seems like they're like, from this one article, and like I said, they might have very good intentions that just were not properly conveyed in this article. It kind of looks like they're trying to puppeteer this dead corpse around.
Yeah.
You know, still with the Telltale branding and everything, which I think is what makes it feel a little weird.
Yeah. There was so much emotion from both the development side and also just the IPs that Telltale had. That I can see why, and this is still really fresh. I mean, it was only last year. It was late last year, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
It was like last winter, last fall. Okay. I think it was February.
Yeah. Okay. We'll keep an eyeball on this one too, because I am certainly curious. Certainly curious how they can do this and then acquire back all of those IP, because you can imagine that maybe like those IP holders would be like super like, yeah, you guys burned us last time. Are you gonna do that again?
I mean, I can't speak with any certainty, but I can imagine after the Telltale thing happened, I can imagine that Microsoft was very quick to get back, you know, Minecraft. Yeah. And I'm sure that a few other brands were very quick to be like, okay, we're taking this back now.
And you think that they probably already started thinking about, well, who can do this for us instead?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
A year's a long time when you think about that, and they want to dance. They want to make this game. They want to get it out there. Ooh, they're sitting on this hot potato.
Somebody.
For once, I'm not the one.
I
want
to feel the hurt with somebody. That was me. Sorry.
Love it.
I got really into that.
Allie, we were just talking about Minecraft. You got more in Minecraft news, don't you?
I do. As always, I am bringing the hard-hitting pieces of journalism within the gaming industry to the Girls on Games podcast.
What I need, girl.
For you this week, listeners, you're not going to want to skip this, as annoying as my voice may be. Guys, I've got some groundbreaking news for you. Minecraft now has bees.
Shit.
They've got so many bees. So many bees in this bad boy.
Killer bees?
Yes. They have added bees to Minecraft Java.
Bumblebees?
Yes, bumblebees.
The car? The transformer?
No.
Oh, damn
weirdo.
It. Okay.
The insect.
I'll deal with killer bees.
Yeah, they've added bees and hives and an assortment of things that you can do to these bees and hives, which include, you know, collecting the honey. You can now craft the honey into sugar. There's a few, like, kind of dispensary items now as well, so you can, you know, live out your apiarist dreams.
I was going to ask.
In Minecraft.
What is the proper term? An apiary?
Apiary?
Yeah. Ah, you learn something new every day.
Apiarist.
I was just going to say the beekeeper lifestyle.
I mean, you could also say the beekeeper lifestyle if you're a beekeeping casual.
I'm obviously a casual.
But no, they look super cute. They're these tiny little guys. They have wings. They fly on by. They're not hostile NPCs unless you attack them first. And they're just really cute. They're really, really, really stinking cute.
I'm reading the patch notes, and it starts with, what happens when our dev team spends the summer eating nothing but honey? We get inspired to add a new mob, the flappy fuzzball that is the bee. We also got very sick. A balanced diet is important, kids.
Yeah, they've got tons of bee puns in the patch notes for this update. It's just cute. It was just a cute little bit. I'm totally in love with them. I think they're friggin' adorable. And I can't wait to add some bees to my build in Minecraft.
I like it. Wow. They're going to be buzzing around your home.
Yep.
Man, I'm just waiting now for the people who are going to build the a bee farm. You know what I mean? Automated bee farm in Minecraft. They will figure it out. It will happen. There'll be some kind of way to, you know, mass produce bees and honey. Guaranteed. So this is only on Java right now, though?
Yeah, it looks like it's only in Java for right now, but I'm sure we'll see it come to the different
Bedrock
different Minecraft different Minecraft Minecraft builds in the future. I definitely cannot wait to have it come to Xbox for certain.
I'm sure we'll hear more about that come Minecraft Earth. Yes. That's coming like October, September, or something like that.
Yeah. Sorry for the noob question, but Minecraft Java, that's the PC edition?
Yes. And I think, I'm not sure if you can also do Bedrock edition, but essentially Bedrock is the one that's on most of the consoles.
Okay.
I think it's Java is the one usually that they update first. And it's usually the one that has more mods and stuff like that. It has a few different mechanics and things. But yeah, Bedrock is the one that's on Switch.
Okay. So Java is the one that's closest to what was originally done.
I'm going to
I believe that is the case. Yes. Okay. Yeah, I believe that that Java, I mean, it's been a very long time since I've played Minecraft on PC, but I do believe that Java is kind of like the as close to original.
Yeah, from Wikipedia. Minecraft Java can have mods, where Bedrock cannot. However, Bedrock can have add-ons, unlike Java. Both, on World Menu, use bars with a name version and a picture. However, Bedrock updates the picture, whereas Java does not. Says Wikipedia. As much as you want to trust Wikipedia.
So Java's the one that has the mod community attached to it.
Java.
Yeah. And then Bedrock's the one, the add-ons that they get is the stuff that Microsoft does.
Yeah, I believe that's Bedrock is where you can only buy additional content and download additional content to your worlds via the Minecraft store interface.
Yeah, and okay. I think the reason they
did that's all pre-approved content and whatnot.
Yes, that's it. The reason they did that is in order to have stuff on console because consoles don't always handle mods well.
Okay, I get it. I'm sorry. What I know about Minecraft is when my friends used to play it after they bought it for $5 in pre-alpha, so I am not up to date on the modern Minecraft.
That's great. It's okay. So that's why you can often see that stuff will come to Java first, because it's just, often testing stuff on PC can be imbalancing and that kind of stuff. And those folks are more likely to be okay with issues. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, it's like Overwatch. The PTR is only on PC.
Yeah. Yep.
Also, Bedrock is definitely a more kid-safe version of Minecraft. Mm-hmm. A little bit more control over, what your children are going to be seeing. But yeah, so now there's bees! And I'm sure that we're going to see that come into Bedrock.
Oh, you know.
Yeah, very shortly.
You know it. All right, well, that pretty much wraps up the podcast for this week, of course. If you like this show, and if you're ever curious about any of the things we talk about, Catherine does this wicked job when she puts up the post for the website of citing all the different sources that we have and where we go and get these news stories and all that kind of stuff. So you can go and follow up and read up all the details, because sometimes we don't recite everything, because, we want you to go check these people out and check out the content that they're creating and get the full story. So you can do that. That's on the website, girlsongames.ca, and I believe they're also listed in the show notes. Sometimes in some of the platforms that you open when you listen to the podcast, there will be all the details there as well. Am I right, correct, Catherine?
Some services truncated, mm-hmm. but if you're on the Podbean site itself or on girlsongames.ca, when it says a list, we talk about this story, those are actually clickable.
Yeah.
So if you're on a service and it's just a text file and you want the source, just go to girlsongames.ca. The first article will often be the podcast, and then you can just click if you want the source.
Yeah, that's great. And now I would like for the folks on the podcast to shout out their social media so you can go and watch what they're doing. See Catherine and her photos. Maybe, have you been taking any screenshots from Fire Emblem?
There's the UI's in the way.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, Allie's going to show us pictures of Hex and Penny, right?
In Sims 4.
I will try to find some time to take some screenshots. Actually, that's one thing I forgot to mention. I'm going to be at PAX West this coming weekend.
Go find Allie on the show floor.
Yeah, so if you're there, make sure to try and flag me down and say hi. I've got to get my Girls on Games t-shirt out of storage. I've got a bunch of stuff still packed away. But yeah, I'll be at PAX West, so that's going to be our topic for next week.
Fun times. I'm so excited to hear about that.
I'm going to have a lot of stuff to talk about. I've got
super jelly.
Tons of interviews. Well, not tons of interviews. More like hands-on meetings with a lot of titles that we've expressed interest for here on the podcast before, and I'm very excited to be able to try them out and then come back and talk to you guys
about
them.
Sweet. I totally miss Fan Expo, so I'm really hoping that I'm going to get lots of info from you. Get the inside scoop.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Where can the folks listening find you guys? Catherine, you want to shout out your social media and everything?
I'm CSDESBINS, CSDBIN on Twitter and Instagram. And right now, if you're following me on Twitter, go to my likes. I'm just liking a bunch of Fire Emblem fan art. That's what I'm doing right now on Twitter.
It's all that's populating her feed right now. It's curating and feeding her.
The obsession. Algorithm is working in my favor for once.
It's just feeding her addiction.
What was the line from Hunger Games? But now it's may the algorithm be always in your favor. And Ellie, how about you? Where can people track you down and see? Maybe they might be able to spot you based on where you are on social for PAX West.
I'm 8-Bit Blonde everywhere on the internet, including Twitter, Instagram, and Xbox. And I'll definitely be posting some photos and whatnot from the show floor as the weekend goes on. So make sure you give me a follow there.
Lovely. And I am Leah Jew, our most social media platforms. But of course you want to know about Girls on Games. You can track us down at The Girls on Games on Twitter and Facebook. We're just Girls on Games on Instagram. If you would like to continue this lovely conversation and more, you can go to our Discord channel, discord.me/girlsongames. But of course, if you ever need to know anything at all, you can track it down at our website. That's our home base, girlsongames.ca. Thank you, Kat. Thank you, Allie. Thank you, Simon, for editing. We're going to talk to you all next week. Off we go to video game events and playing some more games. And I hope you guys have a wonderful long weekend, because long weekends are made for gaming. Seriously. All right. Until next time. Bye.